You know, since the dawn of time, God has been speaking to us. And we need to be listening when God speaks. God's words are different than my words or yours. Now, we all have our language, and there are multiple languages on this earth. And they are capable of communicating in a great way. But there are no words as great as the ones that have come from God. You know, the first time we heard God's voice was in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, where God simply said, "Let there be light." And something happened when God said, "Let there be light." The next part of that verse tells us, "And there was light." According to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, God has spoken in many different ways. In fact, he tells us that God, who in various times and in various ways, spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, and in these last days spoken to us by his Son. So we know that God speaks to us in many different ways. It is said that there is some 413 verses in the Bible which either begins or ends by saying, "Thus saith the Lord." And when we read those four particular words, they should mean more to us than what anybody else has to say to us. Now, what I want to do tonight, I want us to think about the topic when God speaks. Because when God speaks, several things take place in our lives. When God speaks, it is far more important than when we speak or when we hear someone else speak. So let's take a look at some of the things that take place when we literally hear through his word God speaking to us. First of all, when God speaks, the highest authority ever is speaking to us. God is the highest authority in the universe. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, "But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." God has supreme authority. God the Father has supreme authority. His authority rests in the fact that he is our creator. Therefore, he has absolute authority over all creation. The prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 9, says, "Woe to the one who quarrels with his maker, an earthenware vessel among the vessels of the earth. Will the clay say to the potter, 'What are you doing?' Or the thing you are making say, 'He has no hands?'" But you know, you would be surprised today how many people argue with God and the word that he has given to us. And we find people doing that today not only because they want to slander God's name, they want to ridicule God's name, they want to defame God's name, but many people will do this in their estimation of building up God's name. They will tell you the falsehoods of religion in an attempt to tell you that this is God's word, this is God's way. And we have to be very careful to understand that when we hear his word, we are hearing God. And when we hear someone else, we may not be hearing God. Now, I've said this many times in the past. I have got into this pulpit now for 25 plus years. And I have never deliberately told you anything wrong. But I have made mistakes in my words to you. I have misquoted scripture. I have misquoted ideas, not intentionally, But because I am human, my words can be incorrect. Because you are human, your words can be incorrect. But my friends, when we open up God's book and we read and hear the words that are coming from God, there is no error. There is no mistake. God's word is always true. They are always absolute. God ordains and has authority over everything and everyone on this earth, and we know that because he tells us that in his book. Paul said in Romans 13 and verse 1, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. Now, he's not talking about God directly here. He's talking about the governments that we live under today. But then he goes on to say this, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Now, some of us may look at some of the things that are going on in our world today and some of the governments and how they govern the world today, and you may say, well, that can't be right. I mean, look at the frailties, look at the problems and the troubles that come from the governments as they have given their laws to us from day to day. And we would all be the first to admit that our government in America, which is far better than most on the earth, is flawed in a fabulous way. There are so many mistakes in our government, in our law, but yet the authority of them come from God. They have been appointed by God to keep chaos from ruling the world and ruling the day. Even though we may think it is an evil thing, God has put them in place for our good. But we still need to understand, God, when he speaks, is supreme authority even over the laws of the land. When God speaks, there is nothing more powerful. There is nothing more authoritative. The Bible, as the Word of God, has more authoritative power than any catechism, any creed, any manual, and any discipline that man has devised in his own mind. Y'all have heard me mention several times in the past about, for example, the Book of Mormon. I have a copy of the Book of Mormon, and I did that on purpose, because if you're going to teach against a false doctrine, you need to understand that false doctrine. So I stood out, and this happened in Athens, Alabama, probably about 40 years ago. I stood out in the hot sun in Walmart parking lot in Athens, Alabama, and I listened to two men from the Mormon church preach to me for about 20 minutes, because I knew that when they finished, they would give me a copy of the Book of Mormon. Because I'm not going to waste my money buying one, right? So they did. They gave me a copy of the Book of Mormon, also the Doctrine of Covenants, and also the third book, which name has escaped me at the moment. I received all three of their doctrinal books right there on the spot. And I took them home, and I began to read from them. And when you pick up that Book of Mormon, you're going to hear biblical names. And also, you're going to hear it written in the King's English, like our King James Bible. And if you're not careful, you're going to get wrapped up in this reading, because you're going to think that you are reading from God's Word because it sounds so authoritative. And you will just think, well, this has to be gospel. This has to be truth. This has to be coming from God, even though it's not. And man can do that. Man has the ability to make things look right when they're not. So we have to be so careful to be sure that we listen only to God and the things that he has to tell us. God's word is superior to the thoughts of any opinion of man. even if they are mine and even if they are yours. We need to understand that. When God speaks, he speaks with the highest of authority. When God speaks, truth is revealed. Anything that God speaks is going to be true, because this is the very nature of God. Truth is the very nature of God. We can go back to Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4. And listen to what is written about our Lord here. He is a rock, it says. His work is perfect, it says. For all his ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. In other words, there is no imperfections in God. There is nothing untrue about God, and there is nothing untrue about his word. Now, the flip side of that is that God cannot lie. Paul tells us this in Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. We know that God is truthful, and we know the word that has been given to us from God is truthful as well. In the pages of the Bible, we find all we find is truth, because again, it comes from the breath of God. He has given it to us, and he has given us everything that we need. Paul tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. In other words, the word of God has given you and me everything that we need. So we don't need to listen to what man has to say, especially when he starts talking differently in doctrine than what God has given to us. Now, when we think about this phrase, all truth, we know that God is all truth. We need to understand several things about this truth that comes to us from God as we study from his word. Number one, all truth is not in one passage. Now, this is explained in Psalm 139, verses 17 and 18. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. So, in other words, I think what the psalmist is trying to tell us here, when he talks about the sum of the words of God, they come from more than one place. And we know for a fact, in the way that we worship, the things that we do when we come together to worship, you will not find all of them in one passage of Scripture, in the Scripture. We have to put it together from verse to verse to verse. When we talk about God's plan of salvation, what it takes to redeem man, what it takes to give man salvation, we won't find all of it in one place in the Bible. We will find a piece here, a piece there, and we have to put it together. But the sum of it always fits. It is always right. And when we put it together, it is always complete. So we don't always get it all at one time and all in one place. Paul also tells us that we must take all truth and we must rightly divide it. Now, he tells us this in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. And I love the King James version of this, because they use the right word, study. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we must sit down, put God's word into our hands, and know what is right and know what is not. When we hear and read the creeds that come from man, it may not be God's truth, and in most cases it is not God's truth, and we need to know that. Now, there's something else distinctive about all truth, There is a distinction between the Old Testament writings and the New Testament writings. Now, Paul explains this difference in Romans chapter 7, verse 4 and verse 6. First, let's read verse 4. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. Now let's read verse 6. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What's he talking about here? He is talking about the difference between the old law and the new law. We sit in this room today, we are under the new law of Jesus Christ. Now, those who lived in the days of the Old Testament were not under this law because it didn't exist as yet. They were under the old law, the letter that had been given to us by Moses, and that was the law that mankind was under. Man today is no longer under that law. There is a difference, a distinction between what was and what is. And we need to understand that. And you would be surprised how many times people have tried to mix these two laws together or take precedence of the old law over the new law. People do it every day. So there is a distinction. In God's word, which the old law is also God's word, but there is a distinction between old and new. Now, here is the clincher. Man's rejection to the truth of God's word does not change the fact that it is truth. You know, there are a lot of times that we just simply don't want to accept something. I don't want to believe that. I'm going to walk away from that because this just cannot be. And we've probably all done it in one way or the other at one time in our lives. Not necessarily in a spiritual realm. But just see something that we just can't understand how this could be this way and just will not believe it. But the fact is, God's word is truth, whether we want to believe it or not. Whether we want to accept it or not. When God tells you something, that's it. In our meeting tonight, we had our elders and deacons meeting this evening. And we were talking about a couple of things. And Brother Billy brought out this question. You know, he said, I don't understand this. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. What do you not understand about that? I mean, that's what it says. How can you say it says something else? Well, it don't say something else. That's exactly what it says. And when we teach other people the gospel of Christ, why can they not see that? Why can't they see what God's word is literally saying to you? If I held up one of the cushions that you're sitting on tonight and I said, hey, this is blue. Do you believe it's blue? Yeah, every cushion in the room is blue, isn't it? What if someone comes and says, well, that's not blue. That's red. Well, and you know, you would be surprised how many people that would make an argument over that. Why can't we take God's word for what it says? Because it's truth. Whether we like it or not, whether we want to accept it or not, doesn't matter. God said it, and that's it. Now, another point. When God speaks, man has a choice to make. And I want to declare to you today that choices can be devastating. And every one of us in this room have made some devastating choices in our lives. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the Garden of Eden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the garden of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat it, you shall surely die. Does anybody in here not believe that? This is God speaking. Do not eat of this tree. When it happens, you will die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. For the very first time, mankind has heard two different things. For the very first time, mankind now has to make a choice. Which one of these statements am I going to believe? Which one of these statements am I going to follow? Who am I going to follow? Well, we all know the story. She made the wrong choice. She gave this food to her husband. He made the wrong choice. And my friends, mankind, including you and me, have been making wrong choices ever since. When God speaks, man has a choice to make. You see, God's word is primarily designed for the human race. His word gives us a standard by which we are to live by in our lives. This word of God can provide the means whereby we can live in a beautiful relationship with God, or whereby we can separate ourselves from God. When God speaks, His word will direct our way either to heaven or to hell. Did you get that? Let me say it again. God's word will direct every one of us either to heaven or to hell. Now, you've heard me say many times, we do it to ourselves. Through our actions and through our lives, we decide where we will spend eternity, and that's true. But it is God's word that will send us wherever we go, and we need to know that. When God says, be holy, for I am holy, you have a choice to make. You have a choice to make as to whether or not you are going to follow God or you're going to follow the world. When God says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, you have a choice to make. You can either be baptized and be saved, or you can walk away from this rule that God has given to us and be lost. You make that choice. When God says, seek first the kingdom of God, you have a choice to make. You are going to make the decision that you are going to put God first in your life, that you are going to live for Him. And if you finish that verse out, it says the rest of these things will come to you. But you've got to make that decision. You're either going to put God first and let Him take care of everything else, or you are going to try to take care of everything else and not seek God first. You have a choice to make. I could go on and on. We could take hundreds of statements found in God's Word and then realize we have a choice to make. Are we going to follow His Word? Or are we going to walk away from His word? When God speaks, He speaks with the highest of authority. When God speaks, truth is revealed. And when God speaks, you have a decision to make. What decision will you make concerning your God? The choices that you make concerning God's word will determine where you spend eternity. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, you have a choice to make. You can either hear his word, believe his word, repent of the sins that are in your life, confess Jesus as God's Son, be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, or you can choose to walk out of here lost. That's the only two choices that you have, because one of those two will happen tonight if you're not a Christian. Tonight, if you are a Christian and you have gone back into the ways of the world, you have a choice to make. You can either stay where you are spiritually and jeopardize your soul, or you can confess your faults to one another and let us pray with you and for you that the thoughts and the intents of your heart may be removed and you can come back to God. And if you are in this situation tonight, you will make one of these two choices before you leave this building. What choice will you make? God is speaking to you, and he is asking you to make the right choice. Make the right choice. If you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand to sing the song.